Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Pat, good afternoon.
Hello.
You're saying the government have robbed your idea.
Well, I was advised to patent it years ago.
But you do it for next to nothing, and the government are going to charge us 35 quid.
Well, I've been using it, Joe, for the last 20 years.
And you saw your idea on the news last night. Minister for Foreign Affairs held it up in his hand, this new credit card.
Couldn't believe it. I have one of those for 20 years. I scanned my passport.
Yeah.
I digitally printed to Visa card size.
Yeah.
Laminated.
Yes.
And I've used it all over Europe for the last 20 years.
And what do you use it for?
When you book into a hotel or apartments when you're on holidays, you're asked for your passport. They keep it maybe overnight or they could possibly hold on to it for a couple of days.
Because it has all your details, your numbers, your date of birth, your ID, all that carry on, yes?
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Well, the card I have, the Visa size card, has all the same details that's on the passport.
And it's a nice little credit card size. It looks well, does it?
It's identical.
It has your photograph.
Has my photograph, expiry date it was issued, your date you were of birth and all that.
And it is that page from the passport, that
ID
page.
It's the page from the passport.
Okay.
The only difference that you can download your photograph now and put it on there.
You can take
card.
A selfie.
That's right.
Okay. Now, is there anywhere where you've been refused with your new card? With your original card? It's not new. You've been using it for 20 years.
On one occasion, the hotel said, no, we need your passport. So I told them, take that, go in and scan it and see if it's good enough. And he came back out all smiles and he says, yes, we have all your particulars on that. Now, in the recent past, my wife has used hers in a bank in Blessington as identification when she wanted to withdraw cash. We were down the country and
it is her photograph, it is her details.
It's a perfect identification.
Now, I don't know whether you heard Noel on with Philip yesterday, but Noel was making the point in detail that it is ridiculous that people in Ireland have to carry around their passport to get into discos and nightclubs and various other emporiums, and that's why I presume this is one of the reasons. By the way, he was generally against ID cards. That was my understanding. But he said it is ridiculous. A passport is for travel. Have you used it? This your Pat's card, we'll call it for short. Have you used Pat's passport, which is your little card, which cost you a couple of euro to make? Have you used it to get into a disco or a nightclub?
Well, I'm gone beyond.
You're gone beyond Copperface Jack.
I'm my daily constitution up the Phoenix Park at the moment. But it's a perfect identification. We've used it in the bank, as I explained to you a few moments ago. We've used it. You can use it anywhere. The only place I would use my full passport is at the immigration point in the airport.
Okay, now, this is what the Department of Foreign Affairs have said. The new passport, the analogy, if the gentleman is implying that the card is a passport or passport card, you're not, sure you're not?
No, not at all. It's only an identification.
Yeah.
It's the same as what they have. You won't need it. I never needed any identification in Europe with my passport when I had this.
Well, now get serious now. You're right. You say you're in the park. Stay in the open air because you might be confined to four walls if this is true. The analogy of photocopying money might be useful. If you photocopy money and try to pass it off as real, it's illegal. If you simply photocopy money and write on it, for example, it's not illegal.
The modern scanner or photocopier will not scan money. It will not copy it.
And you're saying your homemade Pat's passport for nothing, this little card you've made, is scannable?
Of course it's scannable. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
And why didn't you remember Gay Bourne used to do the inventions? We must do it here soon ourselves again some Friday. Did you ever try and tell your friends?
I was advised several times to patent it. All my children have it, and my grand, some of my grandchildren.
Okay.
Much and they use it for identification.
And what's on the back of it, by the way?
I scanned the maroon back of the passport, and it's on the back of it.
My God, you've thought of everything. What do you do in real life, Pat?
I'm retired, Joe, for quite a while.
And what profession were you in?
I was in Detective Ranch in the Gardaí.
Oh, my God. Well done.
Well that's one of the reasons why I would be security conscious. And that's why I don't like passing away with my passport.
Isn't that an incredible idea?
Yeah. Well,
how much to make? About a euro, is it?
Well, fractions.
Fractions. Okay, stay there, Pat.
Right.
Where's Joanne?
Hi, Joe.
You have two passports.
I do.
And tell us what you say people treat you differently because of where she was born. In what way, like?
Well, no, I only have a small point to make, which is that I was born outside Ireland, which you can probably tell from my accent. Mm-hmm. But I'm a citizen of Ireland and very proud of it. But all of my Irish identification has my place of birth, which is outside Ireland. And I suppose my only thing that I would ask for if we do move to new forms of identification is that they wouldn't have place of birth on it, just because, you know, we're trying to get our new immigrants like myself to assimilate, and we're trying mm-hmm. our best. But I think every time people see that you were born somewhere else, they're reminded of that fact. And I don't necessarily think that that's always such a good thing.
But you're saying you want Dublin left on your ID.
Oh, no, that's another thing. My driver's license actually has a mistake on it, and it says that I was born in Dublin, which I wasn't. And sometimes people do a double take because they can usually figure out that I'm not a native-born Dubliner by my accent. And so when they see that it's on my license, they do kind of double take.
Okay, what do you use for ID in the States, Joanne?
In the States? Hmm. What would I use for ID in the States?
Well, now you ask for ID the way we are here a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would only go there like to visit relatives and things, so I wouldn't be asked for ID that often. I guess going into the country, I'd be asked for a passport.
And what do you think of Pat's passport there? You heard his
I think it's a great idea, actually. I think that's really clever.
Photocopy your passport page, get it reduced to credit card size, and then, sure, some homes now have laminators. They're used for school work and various other things. Let me bring Vivian in.
I actually have a photograph of my passport that I keep.
That's a good idea. Anyway,
on my computer, just in case anybody ever needs.
Okay,
like,
Pat's taking it a step forward. Yes, Pat. Yes.
You don't photocopy it. You scan it.
Okay. Mm.
And you digitally reduce it to visa card size. And that lady, she's talking about America. I did two of those identification cards for friends who visited us from the United States. And we were in Paris 3 years ago, and we were mugged, and we had a camera and stuff taken from us. Mm-hmm. And we went into the local gendarmerie station, or whatever you call it, and they had no problem accepting the visa card size passport identification.
Okay, Vivian wants to make the general point. Quick point, please, Vivian. You there, Vivian?
Which point? Yes, I'm
about,
here.
About you're in favour of ID cards?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Well, I don't see why people are not. In that, if you've nothing to hide, what's the problem with it? I lived in Spain for 5.5 years, and everybody has them there. Nobody thinks anything of it. You're not asked for them every day.
Okay, and what do you think of Pat's passport ID, his little...
It's a brilliant idea.
Brilliant. We're all where do we get them scanned, Pat? We do that at home. Is that what you're saying?
You have a decent... I have modern equipment, scanner and printers.
Okay.
I'm into photography.
Okay.
And...
And do you laminate them yourself?
I do, of course, yeah.
Why don't you set up a business?
Well, would it be legal?
What's illegal about it?
There's nothing illegal about it.
No, I said, would it be legal?
But he's a former detective. Everything he does is legal automatically. No, the department, once you're not pretending it's a passport, which you're not, you're actually saying this is a handy credit card size, durable piece of information which contains all the relevant and vital information on my passport, also my photograph and the scannable elements of it. Here it is on a little handy card. What is illegal about that? You're not pretending it's anything else.
It's a brilliant idea.
Okay. Pat, when do you want to set up the business?
When is that entrepreneur program started?
The young entrepreneur. Is there anything else you do?
I do my driving license.
Okay, what way do you do that?
The same way.
So you have that in a little card as well.
Yes.
But isn't that the way they are at the minute?
They are. The new ones.
But I haven't seen the new one. My driving license doesn't expire until 2020.
Thank God.
I'm satisfied with the one I have at the moment, yeah.
Okay.
But when I lived in Spain, my driving license was like the one we have here now.
Okay. And what about, is there anything else? What about Garda badges? Is there anything else you could do, Pat?
Okay. You name it, Joe, and I'll try.
Okay. Gardaí were always very entrepreneurial. There's the idea, straightforward. The department say it's not illegal unless you're trying to pass it off as a passport.
No, it's not illegal. The only problem would be to try to copy money.
Of course, no one.
Legal tender.
Of course. We know that, for God's sake.
You're not... unless you did passports for a scam for people to try.
Yeah, hopefully not. Okay.
But that would have to be a proper size passport.
And what area of the detective branch were you in, Pat? Was it computers and?
No. I was in crime.
On crime.
I was in crime. I was involved in a lot of notorious murder cases.
And where were you based?
I was based in Kevin Street at one stage, and then I was in Harcourt Square for quite a while.
And are you long gone, as they say?
Joe, I'm nearly now as long retired as I served in the job.
Wow. And what age were you when retired, Pat, can I ask?
50. We should not have lost you at
50.
Well...
with your experience, and if you were in the murder area, incredible...
I often think of that. There's a lot of experience lost to the job at the present time.
And Pat, what was the biggest murder case you solved or helped solve? I know it's a great team.
Well, I found the car that Bridie Dargan was in.
This is Malcolm MacArthur.
When she was killed, that's right. Yeah.
My God.
I was at his arrest out in the harbour.
In Dalkey,
yeah.
As dramatised again recently in the Charlie Haughey, the Gooboo element of it. And where did you find the late Bridie Gargan's car?
At the back of the opposite the old Rialto cinema.
And Malcolm MacArthur bludgeoned poor Bridie.
That was my district at the time.
And you were, well, he bludgeoned Bridie, God rest her, in the park. He dragged her into the back of her car.
Yes.
He then drove down, this is my memory, he drove down through Island Bridge, I think. A helpful paramedics who were driving by saw the injured lady.
There's been documentaries done and all that sort of stuff, and there's been different... Mm-hmm. What actually happened was, she was in the car, and there was cars trying to get out at Island Bridge.
Or get the gate there. Yeah.
And she was climbing at the windows and there were all blood stained and everything. And an ambulance came down, saw the situation and thought that this man was trying to get the woman to hospital. So he went outside of the traffic and beckoned the car to follow him.
Okay.
And he followed the ambulance up the South Circular Road and into the entrance of St. James's Hospital.
Okay.
And he went around the little hut there.
I know it well, yeah.
At the entrance and back out again.
Mm-hmm.
And he drove up about maybe a half a mile and turned into a left into the back of the snooker hall there in Rialto. And he abandoned the car there. And he walked down the South Circular Road. He went into a small travel agency there and he inquired about a bus for Finglas. And he eventually wound up in Finglas, and the story goes then from there, where he went in to
a pub
chemist and bought razors and shaved off his beard in a pub with cold water.
And how soon after he'd abandoned Bridie and the car did you find it?
It would have been, he'd have been just gone some short length of time.
Okay.
I didn't actually, I was with the, there was a group of us found the car.
And by the way, have you seen Malcolm MacArthur around Dublin? He's around Dublin a lot, you know that.
No, I haven't seen him since that time.
Okay, Pat, well done. But it's a sad situation. That was terrible for Bridie's family, indeed Donald Dunne's family as well. Okay, yeah. Pat, thanks indeed for that idea. Pat, Joanne and Vivian, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, Elliot Davis. Elliot, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You have a big interest in aviation, as indeed a lot of people have, especially like you from an early age. You're 16. What's your view on the, looks like the very, very likely situation where Aer Lingus is going to be sold?
Well, to be honest, Joe, I wouldn't see the slots at Heathrow as essential to Aer Lingus, as they already operate flights to London, into Gatwick, mm-hmm. and to other European hubs similar to Heathrow, like Frankfurt and Paris.
But Heathrow isn't, one of the things about Heathrow is the connectivity.
Yeah, I know the connecting flights, and there's a lot of connecting flights into Heathrow, but you have the same kind of range of destinations from the likes of Frankfurt and Paris. The one thing I will say, though, is a lot of people seem to be comparing IAG's bid to buy Aer Lingus to back when they acquired British Midland in 2012. And the difference between the two is that IAG had always intended to merge BMI into British Airways. Mm-hmm. They never wanted to buy BMI just for the continue operating it. But what even though BMI were merged into British Airways, many of their routes are still in operation from Heathrow, through the British Airways brand, including the route to Dublin.
But the IAG said they would keep the Aer Lingus brand and management, didn't say anything about the staff, but they keep the other workers, but he said they'd keep Aer Lingus brand and management. But you say that even if they didn't give a guarantee on the Heathrow slots, as they're called, you don't think that should be a breaking point?
I don't think so, no. Especially considering that they've guaranteed to keep the brand and the management. I think that in itself is a lot. What we could see in regard to the flights to Heathrow from Dublin are further code share agreements on British Airways flights, which would mean that if someone books a flight through Aer Lingus to Heathrow, the ticket will be sold through Aer Lingus, but the flight will actually be operated by British Airways.
Which happens in some way in the One World situation at the minute, doesn't it, that group?
It does, yeah. Just on the the topic of One World, I think if the bid is accepted, which it certainly looks likely, we'll see Aer Lingus rejoining the One World Alliance, which it actually left in 2007.
And why did they leave it?
I think it was a number of factors, to be honest, but in my opinion, one of them was, since then, Aer Lingus has set up a number of ties with non-One World airlines. And I think those airlines were more willing to be that bit more accommodating towards Aer Lingus than the One World airlines were going to be.
Okay, Michael O'Connell, stay there, Elliot. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
For or against the sale?
I am indeed, yeah. As I've said earlier in my mail.
You're against it?
I'm against it,
okay,
yeah.
Why?
I feel very proud when I'm abroad, or even when I'm in Dublin Airport, and I see the Aer Lingus logos, the planes on the tarmac, and I just think it's Irish, it's Ireland. And when you're coming home, even you see the craft on the ground, you just know you're home. And I just think Aer Lingus is synonymous with being Irish, and I just think we should keep that emblem and keep our own Irishness and keep control of it. That's purely it.
IAG said we keep the brand. Obviously, it's a pretty lucrative brand, a pretty trusted brand, so why would you ditch it?
Yeah, well, with no guarantee. I mean, Aircom, all those things happened. They were bought over. We were given various different promises, and look what happened to them. So I just feel we should keep control of our own destiny, our own brand, and our own country.
Well, what control do we have of it at the minute, Michael?
Well, Aer Lingus is Aer Lingus. And well, the government have the control.
Well, it's 75% owned by non-government, non-taxpayer.
Well, yes, but some of the staff members have shares in it as well. And even though Ryanair own 30%, well, at least they're still semi-Irish. But I would hate to see it going into British hands or any other country's hands for that matter. I just think it's nice to have our own brand and be called Irish.
Okay, it's like what Mackie, remember the BA, British Airways, changed their logo and they unveiled this model. As it happened, I think it was a Concorde at the time, this new model with the new branding on it. And it looked like the Union Jack had been relegated, so to speak. And Maggie Thatcher famously took out, when she went to the launch, she took out her handkerchief and covered the new logo because it wasn't British enough.
Yeah. I must say, I felt the same when the Irish, okay. when Aer Lingus changed their logo from the original livery to
and we're
the
still new very, one. Still very identifiable. Okay, Elliot Davis and Michael O'Connell, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
When you reach your goal weight with Weight Watchers, you're entitled to feel a little bit pleased with yourself. That's because when you reach your goal, yes! You become one of Ireland's 50,000 Weight Watchers Gold members with free life membership. Proof Weight Watchers healthy eating plan works for the long term, as well as for the new jeans, the little black dress, the wedding, a healthier heart, keeping up with the kids, running. Visit weightwatchers.ie for a class near you or call 1850 234 123. Weight Watchers, because it works. Terms and conditions apply, but only two.
How do you know when you've met the one? Is it the looks, the excitement, or the feeling that the performance won't let you down? Well, I'm going places in 2015, and I know the 151 for me. The Mitsubishi ASX stands out on the road, and the 8-year warranty makes me feel secure. Order your Mitsubishi ASX now and get complimentary leather seats and parking camera with sensors from €23,950. See MitsubishiMotors.ie. Price excludes delivery and related charges. Offer valid while stocks last. Terms and conditions apply.
Sometimes it takes a girl-sized human to solve an adult-sized problem. This spring, Theatre Lovett is touring nationwide with The Girl Who Forgot to Sing Badly, an hilarious comedy for children and adults alike. Chock full with playfulness, The Irish Times not only works, it wows, The New York Post. Tremendously entertaining, The Guardian. The Girl Who Forgot to Sing Badly, on tour. See theatrelovett.com, press or local theatres. Supported by the Arts Council.
RTE, supporting the arts.
Joe Duffy! Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Paul Campbell's in Enniscorthy. Paul, good afternoon.
How are you going, Joffers? How are you doing?
Good,
you
well? Okay. What do you do in Spain? Go ahead. Your passport.
You get your passport, Joe. Yeah? You bring it down to your local stationery shop.
Yeah.
They photograph your main page of your passport with your photograph, that main page with all your details on it.
Okay.
You bring it back to your local police station.
Yeah.
They must... It's imperative that it's stamped
okay.
and signed by the police over there.
Right.
You bring it back to your shop then, where you got it photocopied.
Yeah.
They will shrink it and laminate it for you at the same size as a credit card.
And how much will that cost me?
It costs you $7, or €7, sorry.
€7.
€7.
Well, the new credit card size ID here will cost €35.
Yeah.
Five times.
Now, it's only official, Joe, if you go to the police station.
Yeah, well, that's no big deal, is it?
Now, it's like everything else over there. You must carry your passport on you when you're driving over there. It's imperative. They're very strict over there.
Okay, but what about your new laminate that you get done?
Oh, that's it. That'll do you. That'll suffice. You can put it in your wallet, Joe, you see. That's the beauty
of
it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And just in case, because passports go missing over there, but you have your
and
passport.
And it's durable and hardy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have it here in my hand, Joe. I'm looking at it now.
€7.
I've got a man standing in the shop here looking at it as well. He's thinking of getting one done. Would you believe that?
I'm sure stationery shops here, some stationery shop is going to jump on this idea.
They'll jump on it, Joe, but... It depends on where you're going with it. It's valid for Ireland, yes. I don't know whether you have to get it stamped here to be authentic by the guards. But I know for the fact in Spain it must be stamped.
But by the way, when the police in Spain stamp it, you hand them your original passport,
yes.
I presume.
Yes, exactly.
And they just check one against the other.
Exactly.
They go, bam, bam, off you go. Go back to the stationery shop.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And they see it as an easy way or simpler way.
Of course
way
it is. Of everyone. Of course it is. Well, when you're going around with a pair of shorts on your Joe and another pair
where,
of
where would you put your passport?
Where do you stick your passport, Joe?
Where? I'm afraid to ask.
Well,
don't
it's
go
like
there.
Wearing a bikini, Joe, but you know yourself.
In your Speedos, your budgie smuggler. Don't go there, Paul. It's a good idea. Pat Morris, good afternoon.
Good luck, Joe.
Mind yourself, Pat.
Afternoon, Joe.
And Ennis Gordy going around with his passport.
Afternoon, Joe.
Is that your passport you have in your pocket? Or you just play? Anyway, go ahead, Pat. In San Francisco.
Joe, I was in San Francisco 2 years ago,
yeah.
And I went to a street festival.
Yeah,
I queued up for a pint in this carnival atmosphere at the stall, and asked him for a pint, and I was refused. And he said, "Have you any ID?" I said, "I have. I had a mature student's card from UCD."
Right.
And I gave it to him. He said, "That's no good to me." I said, "Why? Your age isn't on it," he said. "And I'm 66.
But you don't look your age, Pat.
No, that's the compliment they got from behind me. So that would just give you an idea of the.
You were 66. Well, you were 66 in a queue in San Francisco to buy a pint, and they refused you because they thought you were underage.
Yes. Because with the student's card from UCD, all my info was on it, blah, 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 my name, my photograph, but no age. And he said, "I can't use that. That's no good to me. There's no age on it."
Okay. And what age do you look now, Pat?
67, Joe.
Ah, so you look about 12 and a half. Good luck. Happy birthday. 66.
So thanks, Joe. Just on the light side of the whole,
great one.
The whole discussion.
66, refused a drink because he didn't. Yeah. He said he was underage. Okay,
so maybe everybody should go to San Francisco for a compliment.
With flowers in your hair and an ID card in your back pocket.